خیلی ممنون، خیلی ممنون. انشاءالله زنده باشید، موفق باشید.
Hopefully.
خیلی متشکر. اجازه بدید.
Thank you so much. A few. Allow me. I'll start.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
In the name of God, the most beneficent, the merciful. And may praise be upon our prophet, Muhammad. And also praise upon his holy household.
خداوند متعال را از اعماق دل
from the bottom of my heart I'm thankful to Almighty God
که به ما فرصت داد
who gave us this opportunity
تا یک بار دیگر و یک
سال دیگر able to once again attend this ceremony close to the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, and to have a word with you, the respected people, our endeared youths, both the respected people of the city of Mashhad and also neighboring towns, and also the pilgrims, brothers and sisters. I had the chance to come here for a visit. I'm thankful to God for that. This is the first day of the Iranian New Year, and we have the chance to be here at this holy place next to Imam Reza's shrine. Felicitations on many happy returns and the occasion of the New Year. And I'm hopeful that this new year will prove for all Iranian people a year of joy, happiness, and efforts, as well as success in acquisition of piety and purity. There are a few points I would like to mention. The first one being, it's a brief look at what happened during the past year, what the Iranian nation and the country went through last year, and what happened in relation to us, both in the world and in the region. Well, the reason I'm going to deal with the developments and major lady successes of the Iranian people last year is mainly because of the enemies and ill-wishers, negative comments and propaganda against our people, the leaders of the world arrogance, those who have occupied the seats of bullying and also their elements in our region with full force and their financial resources, their propaganda and their political levers, they try by using all this to intimidate the Iranian nation, the one to disappoint the Iranian people. All they're trying to do is directed at this fact. Anyone who has followed the political propaganda of the ill-wishers of the Iranian nation, they have well realized the fact that the practical efforts, the economic activities, political activities, the threats of military attacks, they're all aimed at the fact that this dynamic and living creature, that is the very Iranian nation that's standing right in the middle of the field, bravely, and they are moving forward. They want to try to stop this dynamic and active creature and check its progress. They want to disappoint it and they want to intimidate them. As a matter of fact, the slogan of "We Can," which was taught to us by the late Imam Khomeini, the revolution enheartened us to utter out this word that "We Can." Now, they want to convince the Iranian nation that no, you can't.
So
this is what they're doing. They're trying their utmost to push this and pursue this goal. The last year was the peak and climax of their efforts. And I want to emphasize this fact that in spite of all what they did and to their displeasure, the Iranian nation last year, through the progress they made, through the decision makings, the Iranian nation proved to the whole world, including its enemies, repeatedly that yes, we can.
اگر بر روی نقاط مثبت و نقاط قوت
and the point of the strength, if we am relying on enumerating these points, it's because we need to prove that the Iranian nation did make use of these, and despite the will of the ill-wishers that wanted to prove that the Iran nation cannot, but the Iran nation prove that they can, we do know about our weak points, we are aware of them, but in the total, when we come to conclusion, our points of strength outweigh those of weakness. So the year 1390, the Iranian calendar, we called it economic jihad or struggle. Therefore, I would like to start with economic issues. This economic drive by the officials, which was accompanied in a praiseworthy manner by the Iranian people, in the course of the Iranian calendar year 90 that ended yesterday. This is noteworthy, and what can be mentioned is this project of removing the subsidies, or what is called targeted subsidies plan. All the experts, both in previous governments and the current government, they have this consensus that the targeted subsidies plan was a requisite and a must, and is a must for the country. Everyone has admitted this and accepted, have come to accept this, despite the fact that the notion was agreed upon by everyone, still practical measure was installed because of its hardship and certain complexities that it has. So the government and parliament, they decided, they made up their mind, and last year, at the time when we're facing sanctions, at a time when it was even harder to do this, to carry out this project, they did take action, and the major parts, sections of this project has been performed. It's not yet complete, but what's happened so far and the measures taken so far by the officials, both in the executive and in the legislative branches, and the support by the people, this brought success for the project. So this is really important and noteworthy. The main objectives and targets of this plan are several points that I would like now to mention. People from different walks of life, they have either heard or but they need to ponder upon this profoundly. This is a great job. This is important. One of the objectives of this law is fair distribution of subsidies that the establishment is putting at disposal of the people. I had already explained elsewhere in a speech that the subsidies were always distributed in an unbalanced way among the people. Subsidies for all, this is what it's all about. By this plan, as a matter of fact, we created this balance and spread justice when it came to the distribution of the subsidies fairly. And I have authentic news from across the country to the effect that this has helped improve the life standard. It has been effective in the improvement of life standard of the weaker sections of society financially. And this is the very essential objects of this plan. Another goal has been the correction of the production structure and the economic structure, the restructuring of the country. The production cycle in the country was a defective one, as has been defective, and what we see in the whole production cycle, the output, well, we had this greater costs and consumption, and we had less output. By this targeted subsidies plan, based on what our experts say and economists say, they have this consensus that this project can correct this. So from consumerism with a low efficiency, this can be taken away from the production sector, and then efficiency can be done in a balanced way together with consumption. Another goal is the management of consumption of energy sources. In our country, we have been an oil-rich country, so we have been used to using gas, gasoline, and other kinds of fuel. We simply consume them recklessly. Maybe our consumption was much higher than that of any other country So this plan on removing the subsidies helped us move toward economizing on fuel and other sources of energy. Based on the statistics that have been published, which are acceptable, they show us that to date, if the law on removing the subsidy, if it had not been implemented, the consumption of gasoline in the country would have been twice as much as what we're consuming nowadays. When gasoline we use is not enough, so we have to import it, which means that we should remain dependent on the enemies. So this way, by this plan, we economize, and today you see that the consumption of gasoline is almost at the level of domestic production, and we do not need imports. And this is a great thing for the country, and this happened last year at a time when the enemies were placing sanctions against us in order to bring the nation to its knees. Our youths were determined, they made up their minds, and they worked, and they managed to nullify this scheme of the enemy. There's another important economic arena that was conducted by our people last year. It's the realm of science and technology. Well, science and technology is a main pillar of the economic power of a nation. When you have access to sophisticated and latest know-how, the nation can become rich, both financially and politically. They will feel stronger and they will have good name. But because this is a key factor, I'm in the progress in science and know-how, I'm sensitive regarding this issue. From various channels and sources, I have been constantly receiving a variety of reports, and I can tell you decisively that the level of progress of the nation has been much higher than what has been publicized. On the basis of reports by scientific centers of the world, well, they have reported, this does not relate to our own scientific centers. International centers have said that there has been the fastest scientific growth rate happening in Iran. Last year, that was almost the same as, almost parallel to 2011, Christian calendar year. Those centers said that in 2011, that just ended 3 months ago, the people of Iran, compared to the year before, that is 2010, the Iranian nation, the economic, the scientific growth saw a 20% rise. Well, what does this mean? Under condition when the enemies of the Iranian nation are betting on the collapse of the Iranian nation and decide that we will impose crippling sanctions against the Iranian nation, then this is how Iranians acted in that condition. It has been reported, again, this is another report prepared by the world's creditable institutions and centers. They say that in the region, Iran ranks first when it comes to science, and in the whole world, Iran ranks 17th. This is a report by those who, if they can publish false reports, they will do that. So this is the confession they're making. In biotechnology, we have made progress. This all belongs to last year. In nanotechnology, we have made progresses. In aerospace, the same. Navid satellite was launched. In nuclear industry, again, we had this 20% enrichment. And this happened, was realized last year again. 20% enrichment of uranium is the same thing that a year before last year, 2 years ago, they insisted, Americans and others, that for us to have uranium enriched to the 20% level to be used at Tehran, a research reactor that produces radioisotopes and radio medicine, because we were running out of fuel, we had run out of our 20% enrichment, and we needed to provide it. For that, they set this condition. They said that the uranium that you have produced, you need to take it outside of your borders. We did not accept it. Then Americans had Brazil and Turkey mediate. Well, we, so that we would come to an agreement, and then we accepted this. Then we had this signing ceremony. Brazilian and Turkish officials came here, and they had this discussion and meetings with our president, and they came out with something on paper, and they signed it. Then Americans had asked Turkey and Brazil to do this. After this document was signed, then Americans did not keep their promise. Slogans of death to America. Well, they did not want to see this agreement signed. They simply wanted to get more concessions. They wanted to simply keep bullying and have this bargaining chip, and so they put their own friends to shame. That's the governments of Brazil and Turkey. They also embarrassed them, but no, Americans did not keep their word, so they also felt embarrassed. So that's the story of this 20% enrichment. All these problems, all these obstructionism, despite all this, our own youth said that we will do that ourselves. So last year in the Iranian 1390, the year 1390, the uranium was enriched for 20% to be used at Tehran nuclear reactor. This fuel was produced by our youths, and they announced to the whole world about the production. And the enemy was amazed.
با اینکه می‌دانند
They do know that the Tehran Research Reactor only deals with radioisotopes and radiomedicine. That means it provides the requirements of hospitals and laboratories across Iran. There are thousands of patients who are in need of this radiomedicine at the same time. But still, they didn't sell this fuel to us. They set conditions and they tried to, let's say, mug us, but our own youths got to work, and it was sophisticated, it was hard, but our youths did manage to produce that ourselves. And now you see a variety of radioisotopes and medicine being produced in Tehran, and the reactor is being using the domestically built fuel. Now, we had also the production of fuel plates last year in the field of nuclear industry. If I want to elaborate on that, it will take a long time. So, briefly, when there were talks of exchange of domestically built uranium, they said that you give us the 3.5, give Russia 3.5% rich uranium, Russia will enrich it 20%, it will then give it to France, and then France will produce fuel plates and give you that. You know, you had to go through this labyrinth. So this fuel plate, our youths and scientists said that we ourselves will produce it, and they did that, and they showed to the world what they did. This all belonged to last year. There has been a six-fold increase in medicine production, in exports of science and knowledge. They all relate to what's been done last year. This is part of the achievements of the year that was called the economic jihad. This is the scientific and technological advance. It demonstrates the scientific progress and power of the nation, but it directly influences the economy. So this is what economic jihad is all about. Well, late last year, just last week, I had a meeting to the oil industry, the research center. You see certain things over there, the like of which could be seen in some other scientific centers in the world, and it makes you come to this conclusion that this is not an exception. These major phenomena that you see, that one day the Iranian people could not even dream about making such achievements and accomplishments, but they have materialized. Now you see them on the ground. Some of the characteristics of what I saw in those centers, I just want to mention them here for you. Well, in the first place, it was the morale prevailing in the complex. There was this group of scientists who had this jihadi morale, as if they were embarking on a jihad, on the path of God. They had this type of morale while working. So this is different. It's different when you're working for money, for power, or for the sake of science itself. But when you're working on a path of God and you're struggling for the cause of God, and this is the morale that prevails in our scientific centers, which is highly invaluable. Well, another characteristic is that I realized that our scientists, the sanctions that are imposed against our people, they simply consider them as opportunities. I saw several people during the long visit that I had. They said that they came thankful for the sanctions. It made us work and think about solutions ourselves and be on our own. So this mentality, this mindset that you have, that you turn those sanctions to opportunities, this is really valuable. So they took it seriously. They let the young people work. They gave them possibilities, and they have been going on. No, it's just like a spring, you know, it's spewing. The third characteristic I found in them is their high self-confidence. There are certain oil industries that are monopolized by 3-4 countries in the whole world. They won't allow anyone else to embark on such operations and activities. Iran, in the course of all these years, long years, has always asked for their assistance, and we have always paid them for help. So their major projects, I saw our scientists say, yes, we can do things ourselves, we will do everything ourselves, we'll produce them on our own. This self-confidence is invaluable. Is precious for a nation, for the scientists of a nation, for the youths of the nation. Another characteristic is that there is this inclination of work getting done by our youth. Everything is being done by our young people. So the youth is the center and focal point of innovation, of production. Another feature is the interaction between industries and universities and academics, and it has been an age-old dream of mine. I've always recommended and advised officials in various sectors of the government to try and to kind of bridge and intermingle activities of the academic centers and industries. I saw that luckily this has happened. Of course, this needs to be generalized. All our industries need to interact with the universities and work together. Science will grow, industries will grow. I have seen these characteristics in such scientific centers, but they do not merely belong to the oil research center. I witnessed the same thing in other visits. Well, that's indicative of the fact that this is happening as a rule in the whole nation. We're moving in that direction. So that's the economic sector. And activities last year. From the very beginning to the end of last year, we could hear the cries and screams of the enemies of the Iran nation. They made threats. They put pressure politically. They slapped sanctions. The elements of the U.S. administration, they're trying across the world, they're trying to put their sanctions in place, to implement their sanctions, to make a blow against, deal a blow against Iran, and to divide the Iran nation and government. Slogans of death to America. Well, last year we made other great accomplishments, including the active diplomacy regarding regional developments. There was this forum on Islamic awakening, the conference on Palestine, on disarmament, the conference on the world without terrorism, conference on youths and the Islamic awakening. These are all the activities conducted in Tehran. Tehran became the focal point and the hub of the attention of the Islamic world, which has awakened now. Well, in connection with economic services, tens of thousands of housing units have been built and put at disposal to people. Well, these figures and statistics, these are great numbers. The major, we had this suburban and the housing and also highways, roads. دهه پیشرفت و عدالت. This is all the beginning and introduction to the decade of justice and progress. We just said that the next, this decade will be the decade of progress and justice, and this is just the beginning. 3 years have passed of the decade. We have been confronting this enemy and these antagonistic ill-wishers. Our dynamic and active people have managed to pull off all these progresses. So just one instance of these great and admirable moves by the Iranian nation last year has been the elections which was held late last year. Well, I need to mention here that the elections are not complete yet. The second round also needs to be held in the same magnificent and graceful way. The election was really important. Well, I should tell you, I've already mentioned this. For almost 6 months, they tried all their best. They tried their utmost to disappoint the people regarding the election. They sometimes came out and said that there will be voter fraud, and then said that if people do not go to the ballot boxes, then they will have fewer enemies. But they had all this kind of propaganda to make the people stop going to polling stations. Sometimes by assassinating our scientists. In less than 6 months' time, they assassinated two of our scientists. They had three assassination attempts. They just wanted to discourage and dishearten our people. In such a situation, such an atmosphere, the election was held. In such an air, you saw such a high turnout. The turnout, which exceeded 64%, this is a big number. Out of the average of, this is higher than the average of parliamentary elections in the world. In America, for example, the average turnout in congressional elections is 35%. In the past 10 years, the turnout on the part of American people in congressional election and the election on House of Representatives and the Senate, it has not even reached 40%. Now you can compare this to that of the Iranian nation. You see this great participation of the people. They make their presence felt, and then you see how important this is. People saying they are prepared. Well, through these pressures, through the psychological warfare, through making those threats and assassination, they wanted to make that election day a day of frustration of the Iranian people and Islamic establishment. But on the contrary, to their wish and to their great displeasure, it turned out to be the day of pride of the Iranian nation. Well, the election acted like a strong and powerful medium. Well, they simply, they stretch the facts about Iran, the news about Iran. They attribute false reports from inside Iran. They make these reports, and then they cannot ignore this election. This has happened, and in front of everybody's eyes. This was just like a great media. The election acted like that, and it managed to show what's happening in Iran to the whole world. So that's what happened in the year 1390 in Iran, the year when the enemy made that great investment to deal blows on the Iranian nation and the Islamic establishment. So this is part of the accomplishments in that year. Now, why do they have this enmity toward us? I should mention this point here. Well, the excuse that they have for their enmity differs on different occasions. Since there was this talk of nuclear activities, they have been sticking to this nuclear issue. Of course, and they confess that Iran is not pursuing nukes, and this is what's true. For our own reasons, certain reasons, we never pursue any nuclear weapons. We have never produced it. We will never do that. This is what they know. But still, they have this excuse, they have this pretext, and another day they have this pretext of human rights, then another, on another occasion, the, another domestic issue. All of these are excuses and pretexts, but what's the main issue? The main issue is the safeguarding, the powerful safeguarding of the Islamic establishment of the great riches of oil and gas in this country. I'm telling you here. This is the main issue. Today and tomorrow, just like yesterday, the economic and political power and consequently the scientific and military prowess, they all depend on energy, on oil. For the next several decades, the world is in need of oil and gas. This is a known fact. When the world arrogance and imperialism and imperialistic powers, they are aware of the fact that they depend on oil and gas. It's vital for them. When they cannot get their hands on this inexpensive crude, the day when they have to provide oil and gas, when they have to give concessions to give this and to stop bullying, then that day will be catastrophic for them. So please pay attention. So that's one point, the issue of oil and its importance for the world imperialism. So on the other hand, Western countries, when it comes to oil resources, they're facing problems day in, day out. Well, on a daily basis, they will face more problems, European countries. And also, let's say, Western countries in general, some of them will consume their oil resources in 4 years, some of them in 6 years, they will use up their oil resources, and some others in 9 years' time will see their sources run out. So they have to make use of sources elsewhere. Like in America, for example, they have 30 plus a billion barrels of oil reserves based on the calculations by our experts, which is on the basis of statistics by Americans themselves. The oil in the U.S. will last until 2021. That's until 9 years later. They will run out of gas, run out of oil. In the world, more than 50% of the oil passes through the Persian Gulf, then that day it will depend on three major oil hubs in our region, in the Persian Gulf region. One of those resources is Iran. I will simply speak about it further. Now, among all the countries in the world, now this is not related to the Persian Gulf only, among all the world countries, the country that has larger reserves of oil and gas, that country is Iran. Some other countries have more gas than us in gas reserves. We are second in the world. It's first Russia and then Iran. In oil resources, we are fourth. There are three countries that have greater oil resources than us. But altogether, when you added up oil and gas together, then the Islamic Republic of Iran, the resources, oil and gas resources, what has been explored so far, Iran has the greatest oil and gas reserves in the world. For consumers of oil in the world, for bullying powers who depend on energy, on oil and gas. This is really fascinating to see a country with such great riches. But until 4 years later, 10 or 15 years later, they run out of the resources. But the Islamic Republic of Iran, based on the explorations we have made so far, we have more than 80 years oil and gas from now. So this is really interesting to see a country at the peak of possessing oil and gas. So what do Arabian powers want? They want this country to be run by an establishment that is very flexible and will bow to them, just like certain countries in the region. Well, they have oil, and they have a lot of oil. But they are they simply listen to Americans. They say, produce this much. They would say, yes, sir. Sell here. Stop selling there. They simply say, yes, and they do it. If in a country like Iran, a rich country like Iran, which is sitting on the top of the when it comes to possession of oil and gas, if there is this government in power that is zealously and is strongly protecting this and will never allow resources, and the government that will never bow to the policies of the enemies, then they will keep their enmity, and this is the reason for their antagonism against Iran. Those who think if we withdraw in our nuclear activities, America will stop antagonism, they are negligent. They don't know. Their problem is not our nuclear activities. There are certain countries that possess nukes, and they exist in our region, and they don't give a damn. So it's not the nuclear issue, it's not the human rights. It's the Islamic Republic of Iran that's bravely withstanding them.
اگر جمهوری اسلامی هم
well if the Islamic Republic of Iran just like some regimes in the region, if Iran was had been ready to make its reason against the people and bow to them, they would never do anything against Iran. This is their arrogant greed. That's the reason for their enmity toward the Iranian nation. Of course, Americans are making a mistake if they think that through enmity, through making threats, they will be able to push the Iranian nation back or kind of try to destroy it. This is a great mistake that they make, and they will see the repercussions. They can deal with the Iranian nation respectfully. They can observe, they consider their own rights, and they are able to identify the catastrophe that is awaiting them. The Western countries do not allow their people to get to know about what's happening in the future regarding the catastrophe, regarding water resources. They don't let the world, their nations, to know about the fate of the oil resources and other energy resources. They don't want their nations to be informed about these. They believe that through fighting the Iranian nation, they can push their agenda forward, but they can't. And I should tell you, respected Iranian nation, and I'm determined to change that situation. Well, this is the slogan that he stepped out to the field, and the people, because of the slogan of change, it was because of that that they voted for him. Or else the racist people were not able to vote for somebody who was black, but they did vote for him in the hope of seeing change. So when you see that the slogan of change is so effective, so influential on the people, this shows the status quo, which is too bad. That means at a time when this man was a candidate for U.S. presidential race, he promised that this change will happen. So the situation was proved that was bad. The people admitted in America that they are staying in a terrible situation. Well, this gentleman came to power. Did he make change? Was he able to change? Was he able to change a bad situation for better? The economic situation that you see today in America, that means $15,000 billion of problems, and the money they owe from their GNP, it's either more or equal to their GDP. And this is a catastrophe for a country. And look at a political situation. They had to withdraw from Iraq without any accomplishments. In Afghanistan, day after day, their situation is aggravating. In Pakistan, that was one of their allies. They are losing their good name. In Islamic countries, in Egypt, in North Africa, in Tunisia, Americans have lost that powerful superficial image of theirs. Now that Occupy Wall Street inside America has also emerged. Is this a good situation? Well, this is simple calculation. It's nothing complicated. So the people of America accepted to see change. That means that they admitted that the situation now is terrible, and that situation has not changed. So they are still in that terrible situation. America is gripped by these problems. Maybe they are able to make problems for others. Maybe they do some crazy things. I need to mention here that we don't have atomic weapons, and we will not produce atomic weapons, nuclear weapons, but in the face of aggressions by the enemy, be it America or the Zionist regime, to defend us, we will attack them at the same level they will. They are prepared for the leader's orders. The slogan, the blood in our is a leader. Well, the Holy Quran has given us this promise. This is what the Holy Quran says, reciting that verse in Arabic. Nowhere can you see in the Quran that if you start a fight or war, when you wage a war, it never said that you will emerge victorious. Maybe you'll be victorious, maybe you'll lose, you'll be defeated. You have seen in the wars during the time of the Prophet, when Muslims attacked, sometimes they were victorious, sometimes they were not. Well, there is no promise by God that if you wage a war, you will definitely emerge victorious. But the promise has been made that if the enemy wages a war against you, then that enemy will certainly fail. Well, you should not say that this only relates to the time of the Prophet of Islam. This is the divine law. The people of Iran are active. They never think of aggression, but when it comes to their own riches, their identity, their faith, the Islamic Republic, people are highly dependent and interested in that. People saying they take pride in martyrdom. Of course, martyrdom is a source of pride for us. This is our slogan, this is a source of pride for us, but it's time for prayer time is close, so I need to wrap it up. Well, the slogan for this year is national production. And in continuation comes, we explain that work, Iranian labor and investment. That means when you are you consuming an Iranian-made good, you are helping the Iranian worker, you are creating employment, and you're also helping, contributing to the investment and bringing about economic flourish. This is a wrong culture that unfortunately we see some of us practice. That means turning to foreign-made products. This is not to our benefit, it's to the detriment of our progress and to the detriment of our future. همه مسئولیت دارند. Well, all of us should feel responsible. مسئولیت دارد. The government also is duty bound. تولید ملی from national حمایت کند. They need to support national production and strengthen it. صندوق توسعه اقتصادی, the economic promotion fund. This was part of our policies and it was ratified. The parliament made it into law. So this is a great asset for our officials. They can make use of it in the national production arena. The government needs to accelerate this. The parliament needs also to support it so that they are able to bring about this flourish in the production. And the people, both those who can make investments or those who are able to do some work, they both need to work together to cooperate. They need to produce high quality products, lasting products inside the country so that we are able to come up with finished products at a lower price. All government sectors and relevant organizations need to work with the financial sector as well as other economic sectors. The parliament also needs to join in. Altogether, they need to help materialize this in our country. And what matters is the people. You should ask for Iranian goods. It's no honor. This is erroneous to think to get these foreign-made brands, to have them in our furniture, in our clothes, in our closet, in our daily affairs, in our edibles. We should not prefer foreign brands to national brands. You see, national brands in many cases are much better. Well, I just hear the clothes that are made in some of our cities, they simply stick some foreign brands and take them back from outside borders. Maybe if they sell them inside here, but when they simply attach this French made, for example, brand, then the Iranian consumer buys the very same suit, the very same clothes, they prefer that over the Iranian-made ones. So this is wrong. Domestic production is important. You should see what our own workers have made, what kind of investment has been made by our own investors. So the main part of the job is on the shoulders of the people when it comes to consumption. This is part of the correction of consumption pattern that I mentioned 2 years ago in the same place. I announced it to the Iranian people. And it's part of the economic jihad and struggle that we raised last year. So national production is important. This must be set as a target. I would like to also make advice politically. All over the country, today we are in need of unity and solidarity. There are lots of reasons for differences. Sometimes people's tastes are not the same. They don't agree on certain things. This should not turn into a pretext for differences. Sometimes there is some inclination in one that does not exist in another one. This should not turn into division. So opinions, ideas are all respected. So differences within, this would bring inefficiency. The Holy Quran tells us not to. The Quran teaches us, if we fight one another over various issues, political, economic, other issues, then the enemy will be emboldened. So they mustered up this little courage in the past few years. It was because of the differences that the enemy felt Well, the Imam Ali also tells us and teaches us there are two kinds of enemies or opponents. So one group is also pursuing the Islamic values. They have their own principles, but they are going the wrong way. Well, this we should not feel antagonistic about. This is different from another opponent, another group, which is moving against the direction, and they aim at enmity and animosity against the Islamic establishment. These two groups are different. We need to be lenient and friendly toward one another. We need to be kinder to one another. These electronic and internet media, unfortunately, they have made people to tactlessly make comments against one another. Well, this also, we need to think about this. Our officials need to do something about it. But the major point is that we ourselves, we the people, we need to feel committed to and we need to adhere to Islamic morals and laws. Well, now, some people should not make it taken advantage of what I say and then to go and blame some of our revolutionary youth. They shouldn't do this. That's not right. All our brave youths, our faithful and revolutionary youths, they're all my children, and I stand behind them and support them. I back our revolutionary and faithful and brave youths, but I recommend that everyone be careful and adopt Islamic moral values, abide by law. The law needs to be obeyed by everyone. The revolution, the manifestation of the revolution, is in the laws of the Islamic establishment. The officials should act the same. The executive, the legislative, need to respect one another. The president needs to respect the parliament and vice versa. They need to stand together as a one another the same way. It means that if they have different opinions, they need to fight one another. Any kind of row within us will make our enemies happy and hopeful. Hopefully, the Iranian calendar year 1391 that just started today will be among the greatest years in which you will see. It's bring with success and prosperity for the Iranian nation. So we ask Almighty God to help our Iranian nation steadfast on the right path. And we ask God to bring defeat to the enemies of this nation, this great Iranian nation. We ask God to materialize their aspirations and keep Imam Mahdi satisfied with us. And God's peace and blessings.